Star Wars Survival Guide, Episode 2. This is your essential guide to surviving as a fan of that galaxy far, far away.
And now, coming to you not exactly live from
the Cliffs of Insanity,
Indiana Jim.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Episode 2 of the Star Wars Survival Guide. If you listened to the first episode, thank you very much. If not, there is still time. Although, you may feel like you're a little behind if you listen to episode one, because everything is timely. Everything is now. Everything is what's happening in the Star Wars universe today. Now, that music you just heard was Star Wars Meets Metal from E-Rock, probably my favorite independent musician right now at this point. E-Rock is the guy that does the Meets Metal videos on YouTube. And also is on Spotify. And these things are just awesome. I love what he does. And he's also a big geek like the rest of us. He loves, you know, superheroes and sci-fi and of course, metal. And he metalizes pop music and trending YouTube stuff. And it's really cool to listen to his arrangements. And y'all need to be supporting this guy. He is making it happen. Showing independent musicians how it can be done, how you can build a community, how you can be an engaging personality and bring people together. And that's his goal. He really wants to bring communities together. You can go visit his website, thisiserock.com. And, you know, he started out filming these little videos on his laptop and he now is at the point through Patreon. He's done some original stuff, I know, but his Patreon account, his patrons are essentially paying him to make these videos, and now he's got, you know, high-def cameras and the green screen and, you know, adding effects and things, and it's awesome, and this guy's just doing great work. So get over to his page, see how you can support him, and, you know, such a cool arrangement of a Star Wars tune. So anyway, thank you for listening. If you want to follow me on Twitter, that's where the action is. It's Survive Star Wars. Lots of great Star Wars fans I'm finding on there. I'm finding it's real easy to jump into the community and get involved. All you got to do is engage. And there's always something to engage about with Star Wars. You know, it kind of reminds me of, and it reminds a lot of people of when we were back in the old days of the, you know, expanded universe as it was. And when the Thrawn books came out, it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But still wasn't quite the same kind of level of anticipation as we had as we were waiting, you know, when they finally, when George Lucas finally announced that he was actually going to make the Star Wars prequels. And, you know, so there's that. And now we hear from Drew Struzan. Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. And I think you already know this, of course. But, you know, I'll talk about it later. So right now, Twitter shout-outs and some of the ones that that are following me on Twitter, that are engaging with me on Twitter, are having a good time. Rogue Lieutenant, Pat Kasprick, Joaquin Slowly. I like that, Joaquin Slowly. That's pretty cool. I see what you did there. JRT Shop, JRTSCHOPP. SW Beyond Films, of course. Star Wars Beyond the Films, one of the podcasts that I listened to in one of a group of friends of mine, Jedi Hunter 66, The Arnie C. And for JRT Shop, we are on the hunt for Boba Fett. Someone has swiped a Boba Fett. It was a 2013, let's see, what was it? It was the 2013, the Saga Legends Boba Fett figure that was swiped by somebody from his person. So if you go to Survive Star Wars and check the Twitter feed, I may retweet that. I may put a link to that. I may just put that on the website because we want to find Boba Fett. Bethany L. Blanton, of course, one of the panelists from the podcast, The Star Wars Report, of course, with her brother. Her brother, Riley Blanton, Texan DMV lifter with a Y, the Jodo cast, another one of those great podcasts, Making Star Wars, of course, from the people at makingstarwars.net, one of the websites that I often quote here, Podcast 66, also an interesting show, Gorilla Scribe, The Best Magic, Sky Mauler, This Ginger _ KT, Thrawn Kill, and Trooper _5, and also Indiana Jedi, who is very close to Indiana Jim, which is what my handle is. Anyway, shout outs to those tweeters who have been engaging with me on Twitter, and we're just having a lovely time. So if you go there, you can check out my list. I've got lists for A-list, people who are actually actors and cast members and writers within the Star Wars universe. There is a list of podcasts, Twitter handles for podcasts, Star Wars podcasts that are out there. And you can find a lot of great shows to listen to on there. And I also want to mention the email address. That is StarWarsSurvivalGuide@gmail.com. And it's all one word, StarWarsSurvivalGuide@gmail.com. Of course, if you want to visit the website, go to AdventuresOfIndianaJim.net and click on the artwork for the Star Wars Survival Guide. You'll find it there. So anyway, what have we got to get into this week? Well, there's a lot. Maybe not as much as there... maybe more than what we had last time. And the first thing I want to get to... First details on the brand new Star Wars Battlefront PlayStation 4 bundle. Now, this is what's getting me excited. This is what I can't wait for, is the Star Wars Battlefront. And the details on this bundle are pretty sweet. It says, get ready to live out your Star Wars battle fantasies this November with the limited edition Star Wars Battlefront PlayStation 4 bundle, featuring a 500GB PS4 and DualShock 4 controller. The fully customized limited edition Star Wars Battlefront bundle is inspired by none other than Darth Vader himself, whose image is etched onto the console. The Star Wars Battlefront Limited Edition Bundle will include Star Wars Battlefront as well as four classic Star Wars titles, including Super Star Wars, Star Wars Racer Revenge, Star Wars Jedi Starfighter, and Star Wars Bounty Hunter. So some classic PS games there. In addition to the Star Wars Battlefront Limited Edition Bundle, fans will also be able to get the Star Wars Battlefront Standard Edition PS4 Bundle with the standard PS4 controller. And you also get Star Wars Battlefront as well as the four classic Star Wars games. Now, the limited edition bundle comes with, it looks like the, I don't know if that's the collector's edition of the game, or there's two different ones, but you also get, obviously, the Darth Vader helmet etched on the side, which looks really cool, and now the controller is also inspired by Darth Vader's suit, so you've got, your sticks are white, the controller's black, the sticks are white, the square, X, and triangle buttons are white, the circle button is red, the D-pad is red, and the shoulder buttons are an alternating red and blue, so kind of resembles the suit. So that's really cool. That's what I'm looking forward to the most, probably, out of any of the upcoming Star Wars merchandise. Now, they haven't discussed pre-order details yet. They haven't given any dates yet, but I'm sure that is soon to come. All right, so let's discuss some other things, and all of this will obviously be in the show notes for you to listen to. Now, there's... I heard on one of the shows, somebody posited the theory that possibly, and this is not a new theory, that The Force Awakens will be kind of, Luke has gone off as the hermit, a la Ben Kenobi, and that whatever happens inspires them to go searching for him, and it becomes sort of the search for Skywalker, which kind of sort of resembles the search for Spock, so I think that's a little too close to home for the Star Trek angle. I don't think the search for Skywalker is going to be a thing. My personal opinion, I feel like Luke's going to be sort of a free agent, not affiliated with the New Republic or whatever it is, but as the Force Awakens, as we understand it, Kylo Ren is kind of learning this Force thing all by himself. He has no master. So it suggests to me that, you know, while Luke may have been the last of the Jedi, according to Yoda, that the Force awakens within Kylo Ren, and I think probably within Finn as well, perhaps Rey, but I'm not sure. Nobody is sure, of course, of anything. But and then that, you know, Luke feels kind of this disturbance in the Force and kind of shows up out of the blue. Kind of, I don't know. You know, it's all guesswork. It's all, you know, speculation. So here's a link from, let's see, IGN. 9 Things You Didn't Know About Star Wars Music. Now, this is a really good piece by David W. Collins, who does the special edition shows on Rebel Force Radio with Jimmy Mack, the music of John Williams. And there is some stuff in here that is really cool to learn. Some things I already knew. A lot of it I learned from David Collins through that show. And, you know, I don't want to spoil the coolest thing. The coolest part about it is point number 3 in this article. But you can see the links there. We kind of knew the Duel of the Fates was inspired by a Celtic poem about the trees. And there's even clips, examples of these things. And I didn't know that there was a major musical change to the scene where Luke surrenders to Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi that could have changed the tone of the overall thing. And I think I like it the way it was. But it's interesting to note kind of the foreshadowing that would have been in place had they left the music in place. Also pretty cool is kind of some music used for the scene where Luke and Vader initially duel on Cloud City. And in an interesting way, how Luke and Leia's theme was pulled directly from the main Star Wars theme and how it relates to it. Really interesting stuff. So if you're into music, and especially Star Wars music, you need to get over there and read this piece. Obviously, I will have the link in the show notes for you there. Now, Paul Bateman is on Twitter at Paul RMQ, RMQ standing for Ralph McQuarrie. He was a protege of Ralph's, worked with him, I believe, in some capacity. And he posted a tweet spotlighting Diego Luna. And he spotlighted several things in the shot that we got from the Rogue One casting announcement. There's a shot of Diego Luna right next to a shot of the guy that played Biggs in the first movie. I don't remember the guy's name. You all do. You all are super Star Wars fans. I would have to go to IMDb and look it up. But anyway, the guy that played Biggs, and they bear an uncanny resemblance to one another. I think it's quite interesting. And we know from, I think, was it from the X-Wing PC game or one of the PC games, that the lore says that Biggs was involved in the stealing of the plans for the first Death Star. So that could be Biggs' Darklighter there. So I think that's a pretty cool theory, and I would die of awesome if that were true. I really would. So this site is from DorksideOfTheForce.com. Star Wars: The Force Awakens director J.J. Abrams dropped a bombshell on the Star Wars fan base last week with his reveal that Kylo Ren's last name. And you may have read it, you may have not. If you haven't, that's fine. I'm going to leave that one alone. On Monday, the Los Angeles Times published an interview with Abrams where he discusses the new big bad of Star Wars, the First Order. When asked why someone would join or want to be associated with an offshoot of the old Galactic Empire, especially since it was run by the Dark Lord of the Sith, the director had this to say. These are the questions, aren't they? Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. I do think the sort of obvious answer is that the Force has a light and a dark side. It's not just one thing. It's not just that the Force is good. The Force is, it can be a very dangerous thing. It can be a very seductive thing. I think that the story clearly requires a conflict of some sort. And so there's more there that is kind of interesting. JJ kind of going into a little bit more about, you know, where the First Order sort of fits in and why it's there. Obviously, we look at it and we see a lot of homage to Nazi Germany and the Nuremberg rallies and things like that. But that's pretty common. It wasn't just Nazi Germany that did it. Stalin's Russia did it. Lenin's Russia. China. Every major superpower seems to like to flaunt its military power. And so, really, you know, what it just points out is that it really is a reflection of our times and our world. And that's always good. Now, here's the quote of the week. Drew Struzan says that The Force Awakens is probably the best Star Wars movie you have ever seen. And that's pretty cool. I like that idea. I really do like that idea. Thank you very much, Drew Struzan. But here's a guy who has seen thousands of movies. And he gets access to scripts. This is at furiousfanboys.com. You'll get the link in the show notes, obviously. And he read the script. He saw a rough cut about the first half of the movie. And this is what he's basing his opinion on. So if Drew Struzan says it, I'm probably pretty okay believing this is probably really great. Obviously, last time we got our hopes up, we got some interesting things. We've got taxation over trade routes. There's only one thing to say about that. But anyway, I still enjoy the Star Wars prequels. I watch them. It has lightsabers, and it has John Williams music, so I'm good. You know, that's pretty much all it takes, really, to make me happy, is lightsabers and John Williams music. Also, apparently, there is some word out there, and I don't know if this is rumor, or I don't know if it's fact, that Star Wars Battlefront, there will be no premium. That the DLC and multiplayer map packs will be free. Can you believe that? That's crazy talk. And awesome talk. Very exciting news. And hopefully that's true. And again, there is a tweet from EA Star Wars. You can go in and I'll show you the link. Again, this is, let me bring this up, starwars.ea.com. And the villains of Star Wars Battlefront, and it kind of spots like spotlights Boba Fett and talking about how they went about developing the character and his weapons and the design of the character. So you know, that'll be pretty interesting if you're looking forward to Star Wars Battlefront. And, you know, that's all the important stuff, really. We've spent 15 minutes talking about news headlines, and that's a lot of the more interesting things that I have called together. Now, if I find something else interesting to me, and that's really what it's all about, is what's interesting to me. And I don't necessarily talk about the same stories that everyone else talks about. So, but anyway, I'm really glad you all that are listening are listening. And I'd like to get you all involved in the discussion here on the show. You can be a part of it by emailing StarWarsSurvivalGuide@gmail.com. Again, go to adventuresofindianajim.net, click on the artwork for the Star Wars Survival Guide, and you will get to the blog page with the episodes. Also, we're live in iTunes. If you go to iTunes and search for Star Wars Survival Guide, you will find it there, or just search Star Wars, look in podcasts, and you can scroll down and find it fairly quickly. It's not too hard to find any particular show you're looking for. So I try to debate without having a lot of time on purpose and without having a ton of stuff to discuss, just kind of the more interesting news headlines, what would I want to talk about if I were to take 10 minutes and I were to talk to you, the fan that is kind of a casual fan of Star Wars. You're not really into the collecting as much. You collect a few things. You collect the films, you watch them, you enjoy them, and you kind of want to stay in tune with the Star Wars universe. That's a hard demographic to nail down. So, what I would say to you is that you can look at Star Wars in several different ways. My favorite way to look at it is as a community. Now, there's a lot of segments of this community. There have been a lot of wedges driven between certain fan segments in this community. Now, you have people of my generation. My first experience of Star Wars was Return of the Jedi in the theater. I was 6 years old. I didn't watch the original. There are a lot of people who watched the original that are still fans, still involved in the community, in fact, still hosting podcasts that are older than me. And these people typically are the ones that are extremely put off by the Star Wars prequels. and certain elements within the Star Wars prequels. And I'll admit, on a critical level, there are severe weaknesses to the films. However, in my opinion, the weakest of the three is actually Revenge of the Sith. Mostly because of pacing, and because Anakin, as played by Hayden Christensen, doesn't possess the gravitas of the man in the suit as Darth Vader. To me, Anakin's turn, Anakin's fall, weakens the character of Darth Vader, in my opinion. It was too quick. I don't think it was handled well. But, you know, when it comes to The Phantom Menace, I really feel like it's one of John Williams' best scores. It has a great overall tone. And despite what you think about Little Annie, you know, Jake Lloyd as Anakin, that's the ultimate tragedy of Star Wars. And how poignant is it of George Lucas to say, hey, here's this good kid who has a good heart, who wants to do good things for people, is totally misunderstood and totally mishandled. And, you know, it's not a bad kid that turns into a bad adult a lot of times. And the real good performance in The Phantom Menace is Liam Neeson. He's the one that really brings the tone home. He's the actor who conveys the compassion for Anakin, the frustration with the system. He's really the Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, as Alec Guinness version of Obi-Wan Kenobi, of the prequel trilogy. And there's a warmth to the film, and there's a heart to the film, and there's a lightness to the film. Yes, it starts with taxation over trade routes, okay? Didn't have the most compelling beginning. Anyway, what am I saying? What I'm saying is that the people who hate the Star Wars prequels need to just calm down. It doesn't change the original movies. Now, let's not discuss George Lucas and his special editions and his tinkering, okay? That's in the past. There were some good changes, there were some not so good changes, and that's fine. But the thing about The Force Awakens is that it's bringing the community back together. Because everybody, whether original trilogy fans or prequel trilogy fans, are on board with how awesome and and how rich this anticipation is. How much we can't wait for The Force Awakens. And people are getting back on the Star Wars fan train. And it's a good thing. And there are lots of great parts of the Star Wars community. And I would highlight the 501st. If you go to Survive Star Wars, twitter.com/survivestarwars, and look at my favorites, there's a picture of, you know, a guy in a stormtrooper costume with a kid in the hospital. That's Star Wars, okay? That is what the Star Wars fan community can do. And all the bitterness and the anger and the ha-ha-ha, I can make fun of the Star Wars prequels. Okay, congratulations. Good job grabbing the low-hanging fruit. Slow clap for you. And while I find very entertaining and fairly credible the Red Letter Media videos about the prequels, and of course they're going for comedy, and there's a lot of good comedy. And, you know, I admit, from a critical standpoint, the prequels provide lots of fodder for criticism. They do. And it's usually fair criticism. But the thing about the internet culture now is that we call each other stupid for disagreeing with each other. And we've lost a taste for civility. So if I would say this to the casual fan, I would say, be civil and join the community. And let's all enjoy Star Wars together. And that's all. I guess kind of felt like I just did the one big thing from the Scott Van Pelt show, or I did what Jerry Springer used to do at the end of his shows back when he had any redeeming value whatsoever. So once again, I want to say thank you for listening to the Star Wars Survival Guide. That email, once again, is starwarssurvivalguide@gmail.com. Go to adventuresofindianajim.net. Click on the artwork for the Star Wars Survival Guide. You'll find the blog page for the show. And please send me your emails, guys. Tweet at me, Survive Star Wars on Twitter. And let's have a discussion. Let's talk about these things, and we'll see where it goes from there. And pretty soon I'm going to try to have a Patreon account for this show so you can kind of contribute to my efforts. But anyway, this has been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to keep it going, and I'll try to find better things to talk about next time, or maybe you enjoyed it. You know, let me know. Email me, tweet at me, and I'll talk at you later. Bye-bye, everybody.